This is Mark Knopfler here. Get lucky with me and Redbeard in the studio.
Thanks, Mark. Writing on allmusic.com, William Ruhlman observes about Mark Knopfler, and I quote, "The fame and lifestyle coincident with the mega platinum sales made him uncomfortable, and discontinuing the Dire Straits billing was a means of walking away from all of that." But in the review for Knopfler's solo album, Get Lucky, Ruhlman notes, and I quote, "Mark Knopfler has made as many solo studio albums as he has made group studio albums with Dire Straits, which may be a signal that it's time to stop comparing his two careers and simply accept them as separate entities," end quote. So was Mark Knopfler wise to scuttle the Dire Straits luxury liner and take a sizable audience with him, or just lucky?
I always feel when somebody says you're lucky, you're so lucky to have, you know, I always feel a little bit of a twinge, and I always think, well, you know, thanks, but I always feel like saying that you make your own, because you have to work hard at for everything. You know, you have to work hard for every lick that you ever learned on the guitar, and you have to. And I don't sit around and tell you how long it's taken me to write this song or that song. I don't go around saying how tough it is, but on the other hand, I feel incredibly lucky. I feel incredibly fortunate. So, and to have the gift of being able to write a song and for it to make thousands of people happy at one go is a wonderful feeling, and it's a tremendous affirmation and confirmation that you're doing something that people respond to, and it's a great thing. I respect it. I try and respect that talent. But the whole area of luck, I mean, one move, one little move to the left or to the right, you know, and things could have been very, very different. And it's a whole weird thing. I do think you need to have some determination. And that's as important, really, sometimes, as having some talent. But it's not something that I have cut and dried views about. I'm not a fatalist by any stretch of the imagination, but I really think you have to show up, and I really think you have to get, you know, behind the plow and get on with it.
Bound from Glasgow town, she's shining in the sun. Mascots to Mersey, on a border run. We're whistling down the hillsides and tearing up the climbs. I'm just a thiever, stealing time in the border river. $300,000 on the clock and plenty more to go. Crash box and leave her, she needs a healing tone. She's not too cold in winter, but she cooks me in the heat. I'm a 6 foot driver, but she can't adjust the seat in the border river. Sure as the sunrise, that's what they say about the Abbey. Sure as the sun rises, that's what they say about the Albion. She's an Albion, she's an Albion. touch me. I got my sleep last night. It's knocking out a living wage in 1969. I'm just a thiever, stealing time in the border river. Sure as the sunrise, that's what they say about me, I'll be. Sure as the sunrise, that's what they say about the Abbey. She's an Abbey, she's an Abbey.
From Knopfler's Get Lucky album, a modern tale likening the long-haul Scottish truckers of Mark Knopfler's adolescence to the border raiders such as William Wallace, immortalized in the film Braveheart. Several of the songs on it underscore both a musical and lyrical theme of looking back. So I asked Mark Knopfler what clues he finds there.
Well, I suppose I always am looking back. I'm always thinking about something that's roots and what stretches back, you know, musically. That's my story with music. That's really what happens. You know, you come in as a kid and you like the records that you're hearing as a kid, but after a while you start to go back and to learn about where it came from and what it is. And anybody that really cares about it gets a little bit involved, I think, with the roots of it. I'm not saying you have to. You could stay, you know, you're welcome to stay right up in the present if you want to. But I think that for anybody that's writing songs, I think that there's some depth in just playing around in the roots of the music too. You know, I mean, when you think about the TV age and you think about the instant food age, you think about the way a modern kitchen is, and it just turns out this food and, you know, you eat it and you switch the TV on. When before, people are always talking about before mobile phones now, you know, never mind before TV. And now they're talking about before mobile phones with all of the attachments that come with them, before email, before, you know, these satellite syndicated phone lines that we're talking on. What did we do before? How did we, you know, and so I suppose I'm always thinking in terms of, you know, marking change. I mean, marking change is something that interests writers, and that's what would interest me, for instance, about people on a ship, you know, going, taking weeks and weeks to months to make a voyage, and then, like Mason and Dixon, for instance, sailing to Philadelphia.
I'm Jeremiah Dixon. I am a Geordie boy. Glass of wine with you, sir, and the ladies I'll enjoy. All Durham and Northumberland, smash it up by my own hand. It was my fate from birth, make my mark upon the earth. You call calls me Charlie Mason, a stargazer am I. It seems that I was born to chart the evening in the sky. They cut me out for baking bread, but I had other dreams instead. This baker's boy from the West Country would join the Royal Society. We are sailing to Philadelphia, a world away from the coal it oven. Sailing to Philadelphia to draw a line. Mason, Dixon.
Philadelphia, to draw the line.
This is Mark Knopfler here, Get Lucky With Me and Red Beard in the studio.
George Harrison and John Fogerty each told me that pop stardom in their early 20s had a surprising downside. Both Harrison and Fogerty felt it had retarded their natural learning arc as guitarists, as pure musicians. Now, you became an international pop star in the mid-80s with Brothers in Arms. Can you empathize with what Harrison and Fogerty felt in that regard?
Yeah, of course. It changes your life. I mean, it actually happened before that. It happened with the first album, you know, back in, you know, around 78 or whenever. And I mean, when you're young, I mean, I was older, thankfully. But when you're a baby, you know, you're in a kid in your teens, it's a heck of a thing to be able to survive it, let alone anything else. It's an unforgettable experience. I mean, you feel as though you're being unraveled a lot of the time. You know, it's like somebody's got a thread on your sweater and just keeps pulling at it. Especially for somebody who's interested in looking at the world, and then they're then subject to the world looking at them in a way that they wouldn't look at anybody else in an ordinary sense, you know. The fame, you realize, is like a byproduct of the success, you know. And success is something I'd recommend to anybody. I can't think of anything good about fame particularly. I mean, if you can, let me know.
I keep a weather eye on the horizon, my back to the wall. I like to know who's coming through the door. That's all. It's the old army training, kicking in. I'm not complaining, it's the world we live in. Lonnie and Malarkey, devious firm. I'll take you to the cleaners, I'll let you burn. The help is breaking dishes in the kitchen, thanks a lot. Behind the worst dishwasher this place ever got. Come in below the radar, they want to spoil our fun. So cold, ice froze up the tank. We lit a fire beneath her, just so she would crank. Keep a weather eye on the horizon, tap stone glass now and then. I got a case of old damnation for when you get here, my friend. We can have ourselves a party. Any which way, we're gonna need a little love.
Not only is Get Lucky Mark Knopfler's fifth solo album in less than a decade, it also finds him more comfortable with his legacy, realizing, quote, "The thing about the old Dire Straits songs is that they are signposts for people's lives," end quote. I asked Mark Knopfler how he's learned to embrace his own past rather than running from it.
I suppose it's part of growing up and realizing how much they mean to people, how much those old Straits songs really mean to people. They write to you, they tell you what they've done with the music, how they've lived to it, how they've celebrated with it. It's connected with their births, sometimes their deaths, their parties, their weddings, loss and celebration. And some of it's very moving. You know, I got a letter last week from a boy who said the music gave him courage. It's from people young and old and from all over the world. And it's wonderful. It's tremendous. And it means a lot to me. Now you realize that when you show up in their part of the world to play Brothers in Arms or Romeo and Juliet or whatever it is, Sultans of Swing, I just try and play the song as well as I can for those people. I like playing those songs. And I don't mess with them so much that they're unrecognizable, hopefully, because it's important to them. It's great that everybody has their own little corners of the music to and it for themselves, and that's a wonderfully rewarding for me. You drop these songs into the well, and the ripples go out, and the signals come back to you in the most amazing ways. You know, I see the stage. I'm on tour and with my band, and it's a wonderful experience and everything. And you look at the equipment going in and the rows of instruments and these amazing players and the drum kit and the guys setting it all up, and then you think, well, it's actually based on a kid that just picked up a guitar and strummed a couple of tunes. That's the basis of the whole thing. And I try and stay in touch with him. Try and stay in touch with the idea of sitting around playing some songs on an acoustic guitar or two, and I try not to get too far away from all of that.
Before gas and TV, before people had cars, we'd sit round the fires, pass around the guitar, remembering songs when my daddy was home. He'd play along on the spoons in a corner. We'd go with the flow when the weather was fine. Sometimes we'd go collecting scrap iron, then we'd sit around the fires, pass a bottle of wine. In the tales of the road, since time had a mind. On the edge of the field.
edge of the world before gasoline.
Redbeard in the studio thanking Mark Knopfler. Special thanks to Cheryl Valentine at Reprise Records and to David Stewart at British Grove Studio. You can visit inthestudio.net for this and your other favorite interviews. In the Studio was written this edition by yours truly, Redbeard. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunat. Theme song by Andy Timmons. In the Studio was produced by Barbarossa Limited. Copyright 2009. All rights reserved. Be a part of the In the Studio network at inthestudio.net.